Well, hello there. Who's ready for this post-match show? Post-show, Battlefield post-show. I'm ready. I'm ready. This was we are gonna talk to the champ. So that'd be great. Right. Well, all right. Well, it ain't a rundown until we do the intro. We gotta do the intro now. We gotta do the thing. Let's do the thing. What's up, everyone? This is the Schmodown Rundown Battlefield Post Show. Post Show. I am Frank Janish. Solo dolo for right now. For right now. We will have the champ with us momentarily. That's right. If you watch the Battlefield pay-per-view, you know what happened. You know what happened. And if you didn't watch it and you were following on social media or other places, and you got spoiled by it, or you chose to be spoiled by it, well, good for you. And now you're here, and you can enjoy the show, enjoy the conversation, the chat, all the insight, the breakdown, the analysis. I say all that, we'll probably do like two of those things. That's fine. You know, thanks for everyone tuning in. It was a great, great event, Battlefield was. Right off the bat, I'll just say, really enjoyed the pre-match interviews Jen did with everyone else, whether it's Janine or it was Jen Kemp was out there. You know, there's plenty of others. It was a nice touch. It really, I will say, it added a lot more gravity to the situation, to what was potentially going to happen there at the Cantina, and then which ultimately did happen at the Cantina. And unfortunately, I was not able to be there in person for this one, but I did have people, I did have, you know, I'll just say, I just have Janine, you know, sending me updates, because I had to know, and, but I'm so excited, what happened, how everything played out. It was a great match. We're gonna get into all of it with the new champion. That's right, the new champion. She is Lady Justice. She represents corruption, and man, God, corruption. Let me tell you, corruption is just something else. But here we go, bringing in Marisol McKee right now. She is Lady Justice, the new singles champion of the world. Here she is, Marisol McKee. How are you?
Hey, I'm pretty good.
Yeah, I would say you got. I mean, you're a little bit, you know, you have more accessories, I think. Than you did the day before, or you know, a few days later. What's it like to hold the belt, though? What's it like to hold the belt? I gotta know.
I gotta say the standard thing. It's heavy as hell.
heavy lies the crown, you know,
yes,
as they
yes,
say.
Indeed. It's yeah, that it's super dope. Yeah. That was exciting. It's in transit. I would like to really bring this home and flash it, you know, but it's still in transit, still making its way to little old Philly.
Oh, interesting. Okay. All right.
But yes, it felt good to hold it, and then I had to part ways for a little bit, and then I'll
okay.
see it soon.
Okay. I do want to get to this Tim Sim super chat here. He puts in the chat, in the words of Jim Lampley, it happened. Marisol. It happened. Can you believe it?
No. This is the craziest thing. It was such a rush to go back to LA and to go to fly out there for LA. My first time, as a matter of fact.
Wow. Hell of a first time, I'd say.
Yeah. Go big or go home, right?
Hey,
and then I went back home, to Philly. And it's been settling in all week, on and off. You know. I'm like it seems, since I'm so far away from it now, it seems like, I don't know, was that like a really, really, really bananas dream? Oh no, that's right.
It happened.
So and I'm still in the processing stage.
Oh, for sure. I bet. Especially since you don't physically have the belt with you at the moment. I guess mm-hmm. it seems a little more. Mm-hmm. I think there's like kind of a little bit of a disconnect of like it's real, but man, it'll be more real when you have that belt. Here, John posts with another super chat. He goes, "This match made the player of the year race a lot closer between Marisol and Irwin. Who would you go with between those two or someone else?" I'll throw this question to you, Marisol. Who would you go with, Marisol or Irwin? Player of the year. Who would you go with?
I have a lot of work. I'm very excited. I'm very excited to have accomplished what I accomplished so far. But I was just trying to keep up with a man who's already accomplished so much. I still think I would vote for Ethan tomorrow. I'm still really proud because I know his story isn't over this season and my story isn't over this season. So it's exciting to see who knows what the rest of the season would hold. But Ethan's one of the people who inspires me to do what I do. So I can't not give him the edge here.
And you know, there is a scenario out there where you could see him again in a team's format. There's a what if. That's a Schmodown what if. And I'll be curious to see. Here we have another super chat here from Hamstract. Sure. All rise, the Honorable Lady Justice is presiding. Man, that's got to feel pretty good when you walked in the cantina and, you know, they do the all rise thing. Were you thinking about that little part of your entrance where you get all the people to rise, or at least Shannon does, and then, you know, she tells all the nerds to sit down? I mean, because when I was like, even before in the pre-show, in the lead-up, I was like, it'd be really interesting or fun. I thought maybe perhaps like your entrance song now, if like to start it off, you know, some songs have like Ben Bateman says like the boss is back or whatever, and then Kaiser mm-hmm. has, or the dungeon has like its Kaiser thing. I thought, now David B, I know you already made the track, but you could take this idea. You could start it off with the all rise and then here comes the music, you know? I don't know. That's just an idea.
That would be pretty sick. That rise thing, that was a moment created literally 5-6 seconds before we walked out there.
Okay.
We were shooting it, me and Sully and Shin, and the guys were just like, what if, blah, blah, blah. I can't even remember. I honestly can't even remember who said it, but we're like, what if everybody just got up? So glad it just worked.
We'll see. Now that you have the belt, I think it even works even better, like, for your entrance. You know, someone comes out from Corruption and does the all rise thing, you know, and then everyone rises for your entrance and because you're the champ. I mean, maybe it happens in New York. We have another super chat here from the cult, and he says, history. Lady Justice. Justice. Yeah, that's great. I mean, it's still, like...
Cult. For the cult.
for the cult. Tim Sim here coming in with another super chat. Thank you, Tim. He goes, Mark Riley 2 times, Dan Merle 5 times, John Rocha 2 times, Christian Harlow, Sam Levine, William Bibiani, Ethan Irwin 2 times, Paul Yama, Ben Bateman, Adam Collins, and now Marisol McKee. Welcome to the Elite Club of Singles Champions indeed. That's a hell of a roster to be a part of.
Yes.
Yeah, a squad to be part of.
Yeah. It's like I said in my post-match, it's an honor to finally accomplish something like that, to be able to have the opportunity to do that. And also just, I hope the first of many steps. I had no intention of just like, oh, let me see if I can win the belt. I want to continue to hold the belt and keep moving myself forward and evolving and moving myself forward in this game. Because I know I can. I'm just happy with one match at a time. I keep getting at least an opportunity to take it one step further. And I'm so honored to get on a list with those caliber of players. Trust me.
Yeah, it's interesting. We're in year 8, and we have all this history. And when you add your name to the list of players who have held championships, whatever division it is, I think it's a really cool elite club that Dan Merle talked about in that pre-match. And I think it's definitely true. There's definitely more, I think, weight behind whenever you step into play a match, because they go, oh, they've reached the mountaintop. They know what it takes, and they've been there. They've accomplished that. So to be a part of that club, of everyone who's held a title in the Shimoda, I think is a really special thing. And I think a lot of people, you know, were obviously cheering for you for a multitude of reasons, but I think also because, you know, they see an excellent player in front of them, and then you accomplished a goal, a dream, and just what an incredible event. I'm stewing at the fact that I couldn't make it there in person, Marisol, but it was still great to watch it live tonight with everyone else watching. And how was it for you watching? Did you get a chance to watch the match or play through it again?
Yeah, I tuned into the premiere tonight. I was really excited to see it from the other side, see it play back, and all. I was really pleasantly, because the energy was just freaking electric in there. Yeah. It was pretty insane. It was such a rush being in there in front of everybody, like a good rush. And I think that came across to watching it back, like on the video. It was pretty tremendous. oh crap! I was just gonna say something. You say something.
Okay. Well, I'll let Suge Knight come in here with his super chat. We got a few super chats in here. If you guys keep sending them in, we'll certainly keep popping them up here and talking about them. Suge Knight 323. He goes, get the Jaeger ready. Much love to Lady Justice.
I'll sip. I'll cheers whiskey to your Jaeger.
There you go. The drink of champions, apparently. Jake Yakavetta, I've heard of this guy before. So proud of Marisol. Congrats, he says. We have another super chat here from Kurt Hagens. Congrats, Marisol. What an amazing moment in Schmo Down history. I think the last time you were on this show, and you were about to play Kevin Smith, you know, there was expectations that you were supposed to beat him. You were supposed to beat him, and you have to deal with that. Coming into this match, a little bit different because it's Ethan Irwin, mm-hmm. and he's been on a tear this year. But there's also this other thing on the side of to be the first woman to win the singles belt in the singles mm-hmm. division. You had to have known there was a ton of people rooting for you to see that happen. What was it like in the lead up to this match? Did you carry that with you? Did you, you know, what did you do with that kind of talk that's been out there in the community?
I felt it. It's hard not to carry it. It's hard not to feel it. And one of the most interesting things about this match is that, like, you know, like I know. Was trying to separate the two because I knew that it would be a really historic win. I know I didn't know, I didn't take it for granted, but I was seeing how much it would mean to a lot of people. And that kind of pressure is monumental. It's enormous. And it's a privilege, it's an honor to be able to have that opportunity to do that. And that pressure was exciting. It motivated me, but it also, I had to at the same time just separate that, because like, I know that if there's a difference between want and, you know, and what actually happens, you know, like I can want it, but I actually have to, I can't just assume that like, if this is something that, you know, I want something that I actually need to do the work to actually have it happen. So I really had to separate the two things and make sure I could win this match and realize that I can't think of any of that stuff when it comes to the actual match on either side of it. Sure. But when it came to the actual match, I had to give it my 100% focus and not worry about doing it for, I couldn't put the pressure of everything on myself actually in the match. I just have to look at these questions and answer these questions and win this match. And take it head first, take it head on, as the competitor that I know I am. And so that was really interesting, trying to balance those two things. And on either end of it, yeah, I was thrilled. I was so excited, thinking about like, what if I could make this happen? But I switched gears completely when it came time to actually go to the match. And And I stumbled out. I mean, we all saw. I stumbled out the gate in that round one.
Those first three questions, you know, one of three.
I was wondering
how did you manage that situation? You know, Ethan's got all three. You only got one of those three. It's Ethan Irwin. You know, how do you deal with that?
Yeah. The way I said in my post match, I was like, look, like just refocus, get your head in it. Don't, like every question's a reset, and get your focus around really quick. And I needed the repeat on my second question because I was like, oh crap. Yeah. After I missed that first question, it was my first, it was
a lot of firsts.
Yeah. The first one out the gate, I blew it. My first question in front of people and live and it's big old whiff. And I felt all of that for like 3 seconds. And I was still thinking that when I heard the second question and I was just like, oh my God, I need a repeat. Let me just bring it all down. And then in those next 5 seconds, my dad taught me a lot of meditation techniques that I absolutely utilized before this match. And shout out to my dad because I was centering myself. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, just dial it back and listen to the question. And I'm happy I listened to the question because there were a lot of hints in the question about what the answer was. And then I got back on track. And then I whiffed. And then I whiffed the third question. but then I got back on track. And that one I never would have gotten. The first one I could have absolutely gotten. Absolutely. That was a very straightforward question. And I'll never know. Maybe it was the jitters that got to me that. The third one wasn't there that day. I can admit that with complete honesty. That was a clean miss. That wasn't there. That wasn't jitters or nerves or anything. That John Lennon question wasn't there at the moment.
Wasn't there. We got some more super chats here from Ralph Roy Malair. Says, proud Corruption fan here. Congrats to the new undisputed MTS champion of the world. Tears were shed. So well deserved, Marisol. Hashtag justice is served. And we have another super chat here from Adam Collins. This guy keeps showing up every time you're on the show. Weird. Welcome to the club, champ. Justice is served. Marisol has led by example this entire season, and she made history tonight. Best partner in the business. Long may she reign. She totes. Player of the year. There you go. There he is. Let me see if I missed any more super chats in here. I might have. I think we're... Oh, we got one from Nerd Chronic. He says, congratulations, Marisol. It was an honor telling your story for this match. Probably one of my proudest promos this year. Yeah, Marisol, that promo, wow.
Hats off to Nerd Chronic. He outdid himself. I was crying before the match even started. I was crying just watching that promo. That was otherworldly. Eric outdid himself with the promo for this match.
It was great. I think we got another. I don't know if I said this one. PLD says, salute to the champ. So proud of you. Much love. That's from P to the L to the D. He was on the show last night, filling for Brad. Marisol, this is, you know, we go through the first round. It's 9-6. He hits the bonus. You're down 3 points. Mm-hmm. You get Jimmy Stewart. I mean, there wasn't really that much debate whether or not you're going to take that slice, was there? I mean, come on.
I mean, well, it's one of those things. It's just bets. It's just what I was factoring in was being down. And I was not anticipating that was the absolute worst case scenario. Mm-hmm. I knew if I was any lower than if I had scored any lower than six, that would look pretty bleak. I would be out of range. You don't want to go down 4 to Ethan Irwin. I knew six was the absolute minimum I could get against him and hope, because I knew he was going to go 9-9. That was the minimum I could hope to still really hang in it. So I really needed something that I could be lights out with. And there were a lot of options on that wheel. There were many things that I liked. And Jimmy Stewart is really broad. Jimmy Stewart is a very broad category with a lot of classic films on there, a lot of old films. And that man has been in a lot of films, let me tell you. So it's just, you know, just weighing that in the moment. It's just, you know, you never know which direction, and factoring in that it was a championship match.
Yeah.
You know, I would be, there's nothing, I'm not going to make any knee-jerk reactions. I think I've made that pretty clear. I take my time with everything, which comes across, I think, in my matches. Even my answers, whether I know them or don't know them, I take my time with everything I do. And I was going to take my time with that decision. I was going to be like, yeah, keep it. I just wanted to think of it, factor in everything. And that's what I talked about with Shannon. And I was like, I'm down by 3. So this needs to be an 8 out of 8. And even with that potential that I knew was a big slice going deep, I still felt confident in it. So I was like, let's do this. Another. And now's not the time to get skittish. Even though I was down by 3, it wasn't the time to play timid, to play afraid, or to play defensive. It was time to go on the offensive. Shannon echoed that right with me when we were talking, and I took it.
And there's more to talk about in the second round, absolutely. But I want to get to Jill. Her super chat here, she comes in with, I sobbed in studio and I cried again for the pay-per-view. I'm so damn proud of you, Marisol. That's Jill, who's been killer on those post-match interviews as of late at the Cantina. So great job, Jill. Great job.
So many great moments. It's so much to highlight, but an easy highlight is getting to hug, be in person and hug Jill for the first time and cry in our arms after I won. That was a really great moment.
We got another super chat here from Canada Rocks. Congratulations, champ. That was such a great moment. Loved your fan of movies speech. There is justice in the world after all. Woo! I'm not going to do all those O's, but you got most of them, I guess. You know, after that match, I mean, we're kind of jumping around here now. Going to, you know, Jill brings up she sobbed. I mean, like, how many people did you see in that room cry? I mean, I don't know. But I think there had to be many tear shed in that post match, or, you know, after the match. Isn't it quite interesting the emotion you get from a movie trivia competition?
Because and that's like what Canada Rocks just said. Thank you, Canada Rocks. That's why that's my motivation. I had to bring it back to what matters. We're here, and this is all the only reason we're doing any of this. I'm not doing this because, you know, I like winning matches. I just want to compete at something or anything. I'm here because I adore film, and that's why we're all here, and that's why we're all screaming our heads off, and we're all so passionate about this. And none of us would be here if it weren't for that. And that's what motivates me every day with this, is because I love movies in my life, and I love them so much, and they're such a part of my life. And this is so awesome, so unreal, and so awesome that I'm here and having this opportunity to stand here. That it's manifested in this way. And now I'm holding a belt for being a singles champion because we love movies so much, because that is the number one. That's the most important thing in all of this above anything else. And that's the reason why I'm there. It's the reason why I was doing this.
And so let's get back into the second round here, because a very important part in the match happened here on Ethan's fourth question. He kind of was trying to figure out what they were asking, the turtles' first words or the movie's first words in the movie. So he's trying to figure it out. In the moment, watching it, I was like, why aren't you just actually using a full-blown repeat at this point? And he gets Ken to actually kind of clarify a little bit, which I thought was a little murky. I was like, well, you should probably just do that for a repeat. But nonetheless, he blurts out an answer. He says, I think, radical. And then you get a 2-point steal opportunity. Now, when they asked the question right off the bat to Ethan, did you know the answer right away, or did that some of that clarification from Ken help you get to the answer?
Frankly, I understood what they were asking. Mm-hmm. The first go when I heard the question. By them saying like the first word they ever spoke, to me that meant ever in life, like in their lives. So I did understand it on the first go. I understood what they were asking on the first go. I can understand the argument for the wording vague, and I totally understand Ethan being like, what you mean their first word said in the movie or the first word they've ever spoken in their life. But I think even just saying it out like that, I think that's the answer right there, that it's ever in life. But I was surprised that he didn't use the repeat. I thought for sure that he would use the repeat. But Ethan is a confident player, and he shoots from the hip, just fast and quick. He is quick, and he goes for it. And that's one of his signatures as a player, and what makes him such a dangerous opponent. I really appreciate it, at least in the post-match. It's just a testament to Ethan's integrity, which is why I was thrilled to play Ethan in the first place. He is one of those, which I've said before to you before, like, you know, like you either know it or you don't. And I really want to give an acknowledgement to his supreme integrity in this game, just unmatched integrity about it, where he was saying that he didn't believe that he would have known it if it had been clarified. So he stuck to his guns with it. But it was fortunate for me that it was it created an opportunity for me to swing the points back in my direction.
Yeah, in a big way. And I mean, you had to feel like you were back. I don't know if you ever felt out of it at that point. You know, down 3 points, he was basically looking at that point after that third question in the second round. I was like, well, he's going to go perfect. I'm still going to be down 3 points. Here comes, you know, we still have 3 more rounds, but you're still nothing was gained in that round. Mm-hmm. But then you did, and just flipped. You know, what is going through your mind? Because now all of a sudden you're in a situation that perhaps just, you know, 60 seconds ago you didn't think you might be in. Now you're up. Mm-hmm. And you were previously down 3. Now you're up 3 at this point. Like, how do you rein in such an extreme swing in that moment where you're like, now you're leading the champ, you're leading Ethan Irwin after 2 rounds?
That was huge. I'm not going to say it was necessarily like a morale booster. I wasn't beating myself up. I had refocused already by the beginning of round 2 when I started and I took Jimmy Stewart. But every bit helps. I knew going into this match, I was prepared either way to go down, absolutely down to the 5-pointer. Because it's Ethan Irwin. You should prepare for sudden death if possible. But I was prepared that this was going to be a full game all the way down to the wire. And I knew that every round with 5 rounds, even if I haven't played them before, I already understand that every single, not just round, but everybody's turn in each round is an opportunity to then change the game. And I was fully aware of that. And each one does change the game. So I was refocused by the time it was my turn in round 2. When 8 out of 8, that was already swinging the momentum in a different direction. And then I was ready to just keep going on. When he got turtles, I was like, well, here's 8 out of 8 from him and turtles. I was ready to just keep going. I was like, all right, let's look to round 3 then. And then, you know, got a gift with that steal, and I just kept rolling with it. But I was ready for it either way.
The cult is back. The cult is back here with the super chat saying, trading two picks for Lady Justice was a good idea. All hail the Queen of Corruption, Shannon. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, look.
We have to wait till the end of the season. Come on. I mean, I
don't even think you got to wait till the end of the season now. I mean, you've gotten the belt. Kate traded you away a player that has won a singles championship. Look, do I think the trade worked out for both sides more than the other at this point? Yes. However, she's I don't know. So
Kate's half in the story isn't left. It's even, true. You can't even measure that against the fact that Saul is still in the running. Yeah. And Duralde's entering the tournament. Like the people that were involved in the trade are still active and out there and doing things. So still too early to call. Can't call it. I'm excited.
But what I've done. If you know, if this is like a 4-lap race and I feel like we're on lap 3, I feel like Shannon's got like the lead right now, but whether or not at the end of the race, will she hit?
That's fair. I won't. I mean, I think that's fair. I'll give you that one.
But round 3, the wager round, directors is the category. I mean, I think everyone in that room knew that both of these players are going to bet 3 points. I mean, like, come on. Ethan Irwin for one. I mean, he's in the business. He works with all these types of people. Oh, yeah. And not to mention, we've seen what he's done in the past. And then you yourself, you've proven up to this point, you know, with your high accuracy rate, just anything that comes across your, you know, the desk for you, you get it. And so was there any thought about not betting 3 points?
Honestly, no. Directors is broad, and I'm very comfortable in broad. It suits my knowledge base. directors are something I've cared about my entire life. I've always cared about stats and knowing things about who did what and whose body of work. Even if I haven't seen the films, I've always been very interested in people's bodies of work. And that was comfortable for me. That was like this three. And then factor in, it was only cemented by no. I just knew that Ethan was going to bet three.
Yeah.
Because again, like he's gung ho. And he leaves nothing on the table. He's because you shouldn't when you're that knowledgeable and you're that excellent of a player. Why not? And I knew he was going to bet three. Fortunately, it was a slice for myself that I also felt very confident in myself. And I knew that I didn't want to bet anything less because I knew that I had it in me and I fully believed in myself. So I went for it.
And what a huge, huge moment in the match, because this puts you up by six. It's 21-15 at the end of this round. Just a massive, massive swing. He loses three, you gain three.
I was not expecting that.
What's the energy like in the cantina at this point, because people now are just thinking, oh, we're real close to the end here, and she could really do it. What's the energy like in that room at that moment?
That came out of nowhere, and I had to recenter myself in a different way than in round one when I was down by three. I had to recenter myself in a different way because that's suddenly I was up by seven, and that came out of nowhere. And that was almost, that can be almost as disorienting as being down by a lot. You're like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Because you don't want to let that kind of stuff go to your head. Mm-hmm. And I was still playing across the table from a cobra, like an absolute killer.
I just want to point out really,
yeah.
I just find it really ironic. You just pointed out cobra and killer, two nicknames for players from your faction.
Yeah. And, they're always just circling my brain.
Yeah, and Ethan Irwin, big time talent. Big time is it?
But he is a big time talent.
Just, I was like, wait a minute, Cobra.
Corruption runs deep.
And then then a speed round, and we know Ethan from his match previously with Dan Murrow how lethal he can be there, and it was entirely conceivable, I think, that he could have ran all five, and then he's only down by one, and that 6-point lead is gone because he's that capable of it. Instead, it's a 3-2 split in favor of him, so he only trims it by one, I think, at that point, or right. So he's heading into 21-15. That's when it was 21-15 rather. Mm-hmm. 6 points, and it's like, if you do the math real quick, I don't know if you did in the moment, but it's like, well, even if he hits all 10, that means he's only up by four, and I could win it on the three if I have my two and three. Mm-hmm. Is that running through your mind at that point?
Absolutely. I knew the speed round is the thing I was the most looking forward to. Honestly, I didn't have jitters about it. I was excited for it. I knew that was Ethan's so scary. And Ethan has, just my luck. Ethan has, that was the scariest. Ethan's already scary before this match. Ethan was scary. That is the scariest and the fastest I've ever seen Ethan Irwin answer questions in a speedrun. That was terrifying. And I knew that this was the round that I was the most excited about because I felt good about myself. I felt good about my reflexes. And I was ready. I wasn't intimidated by it. I was ready to see how I did. I mean, it's not like you kind of have a good idea in your life about your reflexes and certain things. And I know that my knowledge, especially my broad knowledge, is pretty quick. I'm pretty quick to the draw on that. Even if I answer slowly, I'm quick to the draw up here. And I trust my reflexes because I know I've spent my life using my reflexes in other ways, quick reflexes in other ways. So I did feel, I was just excited to see how it played out. I felt good. I didn't feel outmatched. I knew that I just had to be on my A game. And I knew that I could. And Ethan was terrifying. And I'm very happy that I got in what I got in.
Yeah. Nerd Chronic points out that Ethan literally got a question based on one actor's name.
Yeah.
Just an incredible feat of like, this is what it must be. And he even did that, I think, on the Independence Day one. He barely just got in the Resurrection.
Resurgence.
Barely, Resurgence, yes. Barely just squeezed in there, and I was like, And he,
that one was the one that floored me, because we were both waiting there, because I was waiting for them to say, because I was about to hit the second I heard Independence Day, I was about to hit 1996. And then I was like, and then Ken was pausing. I was just like, is he about to say Resurgence? You know, like I was like, is it the first Independence Day? And the second he just said like, rough, like Ethan was right there. And Ethan got me on that one. That the other ones, he pretty clearly had me. I don't think I was going to hit those before him, because he was just too scary on that Halloween question. Independence Day, the release day's question, I absolutely had a shot there. And he blindsided me on that one. So my hat's off, hat's off to Ethan on that one. But I hung in on the ones I could.
Yeah, it was a great round, because it was, you know, he answers, then you answer, then he answered a couple in a row, and then you finish off the round. And it was just a ping pong of, you know, I got one, you got this one, I got this one, you got this one. It was quite an entertaining display of knowledge. And look, people, I know you like Fast Money, but Fast Money doesn't do this. Like, it doesn't do, like, are you not entertained? You know what I mean? Come on.
I'm a convert. I was over there. I was so like, me sitting on my couch, thinking from the competitor side, I was like, let me just answer questions, please, Fast Money. Just let me answer questions.
Yeah.
After playing in the speed round, I was like, no. Speed round. I was like playing devil's advocate before. I was like, well, speed round is more exciting, I guess, you know, but like, I'm a competitor. I just really want to answer questions.
Yeah.
I will always be on the speed round side after actually playing the speed round. That was such a rush. That was so exciting. It is so dynamic, and it brings so much to the game, and it brings a next level of actual competition and actually interactive competition to the game. I'll fight for a speed round after even losing the speed round. Technically, I lost the speed round. He got three, I got two. I didn't even best him in that, but I'd still would love to do it again.
Well, I mean, you're going to have your hands full when you play Mr. Cobra himself in the speed round in New York. And if we've seen anything out of him from Collision, I mean, that's a whole nother, I mean, you thought Ethan was great here. I mean, Chance is going to be just as lethal, and that's going to be a lot of fun to watch. Okay, we got Tim Sim here again with another Super Chat. Thanks, buddy. He says, amazing that Corruption not only secured 7 to 8 points in New York, they also secured one of two of the main event, half the main event match at Spectacular, and can earn at least 10 points. Yeah, I mean, no matter what, either you or Chance will be at Spectacular defending the singles belt. Mike obviously will have, if he defeats Amaru, he's going to be defending at Spectacular for Inner Geekdom. And then you have, you know, just Star Wars tournament, perhaps. And then you have teams if you can make it to that. So yeah, there's a lot of opportunity there. Quite amazing there. All right, championship round, Marisol. I mean, you are up by a lot of points, and I think most seasoned, knowledgeable Shmodown fans are like, you know what, Ethan's definitely get the 2 and 3. 5 is going to be a toss-up, but no one's going to be surprised, because all 10 points there. You hit your 2-pointer. Is that, you know, you can win on the 2 and 3, but you have to hit the 2 in order to win it on the 3.
Mm-hmm.
Was that, I'm curious about what it was like to have to answer that 2-pointer. What was that perhaps the most stressful 2-pointer you've ever had to answer?
Yeah, you can't take anything for granted. And I was sitting there, I was like, here comes the one goddamn 2-pointer that I'm not going to know. I'm like, I was like, here it comes.
You can look at a Ben Bateman scenario where he had hit it to the Lucas Black, and he didn't. And then it all went south for him. But that didn't happen here in this case, obviously. But
no, it didn't. But it did cross my mind. I mean, of course it crossed in your mind. You have to prepare for all scenarios. You can't take anything for granted. Except the one thing I did take for granted going in and talking to Shane, I was like, Ethan's about to go 10 for 10. I'm sorry. I was just like, he's about to go 10 for 10. That was one thing that I knew. And so I was like, just listen to every single syllable in these questions. These are going to be the two, in theory, easier than the 5. So just don't muck this up. Like, just listen to the 2 and 3. Listen to every syllable. And I had flashing thoughts that it was going to be, you know, that I could miss it. And then the second he starts reading, you know, they start reading the question, I just erase that. Then it's time to just pay attention to the question. Gotta so leave those thoughts at the door.
Yeah, so you hit the two, and now it's the three. This one's gonna give you the bell. You use a repeat. Was that just a, you know, you talk about, you know, and you want to take your time. Was that just to kind of gather yourself and be like, hey, let's bring this home? Or was it just like, or were you trying to, you know, take in that moment knowing that, like, let me just soak in this moment before I actually hit it. What was that like to answer that three-pointer?
That was, everything in that was, there's a couple things. One was, I felt that I knew it right after it was asked. And I used the repeat because I had to compose myself, because I felt very confident in my answer and I just wanted to compose myself. And then I wanted to double check my work. I'm geeky like that. I'm very thorough. I just wanted to double check my work and play back every detail in the question. Cause there, again, I love a lot of the, especially like the Oscar hints, where some of the, really the defining things that helped me get some answers in this match. And those are very careful things. There's an Oscar winner. Absolutely. Like Rachel Weisz, there's an Oscar winner who plays a witch in Oz, the Great and Powerful, but the Oscar nom is Michelle Williams. And her name's Glinda, obviously. But even if you didn't know the names of the characters, Oscar nom is the key hint right there. Even if you don't specifically go through names of cast members in films and recall things that way. So I just put that together. I knew it, and I just needed to compose myself because it was settling in. And I just, again, didn't want to blurt anything out. I don't do it for show. I just do it so that I could be thorough with my answers. And I just needed to take a deep breath, and just let that silence just sit in before I lost my mind.
Yeah. I mean, and then they announce you the winner, the champion. I mean, you started your career facing Bonnie Somerville, and now you're here in LA, in Hollywood, the Cantina, playing for the singles championship. You've accomplished that. What I mean, when you look back on the journey, you know, the six match journey, I mean, there's other team matches and what have you, and free for all and stuff like that. But your singles career, that road, it's gotten you to this point. It took you six or seven matches, and now you have the belt. You know, I mean, and you're doing the post match interviews, you're holding the belt. What's that? Is there anything? I know it's like it's movie trivia, and we do this all for fun, and it's the most glamorized game night in the history of the world, basically. But you know, is there? I'm curious because I will never win one of these belts, and that's fine. I love watching people win them, but what is it like to know that you've accomplished something that you set out to do, even as silly and fun as movie trivia?
It's goes beyond that. Like it goes beyond, like it ties back to me talking about just loving movies. It talks about what really inspires you. And it's beyond just answering questions. It's every stage of it. My journey with this started before my match with Bonnie. It started years ago watching Schmodown and watching Clark Wolf and Rachel Cushing play and Kalinowski, Drew McWeeny, Sam Levine, my favorite players, like Dan Merle, like watching my favorite players play. And it started with that bringing so much joy to my life. And then moving past that, like having that grow and just having that grow and evolve and expand, and me just privately enjoying, you know, just minding my business, just being my little movie fan, Schmodown fan. And then that growing each year and meeting people, becoming more connected, meeting Janine, meeting Rachel Silvestrini, connecting with Shannon and Chance and Mike, meeting Adam Collins, meeting these people and just growing and having and feeling just more and more connected and just building that foundation. All of that leads and builds. Even before even I played my first match, you know, like people and the people in my life and the people that I've connected with and care about this and I care about have just pushed has led to everything, and that just continued. Like with each match, you would just keep building, you just keep meeting more people, you know getting to know like Video Drew, Jen Kemp, and Peggy, Paige, like so many people. You just keep that would keep inspiring me and growing from match to match to match. And that's fuel of the soul more than anything else, more than like cramming IMDb or something like that. That's the really powerful shit right there. I'm sorry.
That was good.
Yes, can I say?
Yeah, well, you did.
Sorry. The powerful shit is. But that's kind of buoyed me in everything I do, kept me buoyant in everything I do, and it just keeps snowballing. And it makes me feel stronger more than just literally just answering questions. Just being so connected to all these people that I love and care about and who love film. And that has pushed me through every match all the way to this point. I think that was a super sentimental answer.
It was great.
But that was what I feel. That's what I mean.
Yeah. You know, it's, I had a question and then I got lost in your response there, and it was, 'cause it was really great. And I think the one thing that everyone always takes away from the Schmodown is the community and the love for film. And we're always, you know, we cheer for others and we go, well, maybe I don't want to see you win today because I want to see this person win. But it's always been in good fun. And, you know, but corruption, because you guys are like supposed to be like a heel faction, and, you know, anti-hero, but you guys are so well beloved. Like, you know,
I know we're such failures of heels. I'm so sorry. I get it.
Yeah, I mean, I think failures at heels, but champions of trivia. I mean, you know, it's,
I mean,
what would you rather have? Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I can, you know, I'll leave the heel awards to Thin Stock Exchange. I don't see any of them holding belts right now.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Is that my shot fired? Because I fired a couple shots there.
Yeah. What do you say to your other friends and family? And you're like, hey, I'm kind of a champion in movie trivia. I did this thing in LA. Just thought you should know. I mean, what's that like sharing that with other friends and family?
It's from step one with my family. They're like, What is this now? What is this? What
you
are you doing?
Go to the dinner table with the belt now, and it's just like,
oh yeah, I'm gonna eat with that thing. Yeah, it was a serious learning curve with my family. They're just like, I don't get it. Like, you answer a question, and like, other people care. Like, I don't get it. They're just one of the greatest things as well has been getting my family into it, it's been a steady hill. Climbing up that hill, but especially with this was something pretty concrete that I have nothing but the full support of my family at this point, and it means a lot.
You also, I think, have the support of one Ben Bateman. He says, just popping in for a second from vacation. Congrats, Lady Justice, well deserved.
Thanks, boss.
You guys gonna do that movie release date thing or what's happening? I mean,
I'm down. I'm always down.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I didn't forget. So
that would be fun. Hey, they let me know. Let's do an exhibition.
I mean, there's going to be a Dan Merle, Adam Collins one. They might as well, you know. You can do another one. I'm just saying. For I know they got things scheduled and whatnot. But
let's do it. It would be fun. Yeah. I would absolutely love to do a movie release dates. I really do love it. And Bateman's so great at them. It would be really, really fun. Really, really fun to scrap with him on that.
Well, I've held you here for quite a while. I want to thank you, Marisol, for your time. But also, before I ultimately let you go here, is there anyone or any group of people that you just want to thank just outright and be like, hey, thank you for whatever it is, that you just like to say some final words to people out there?
Obviously my faction, you know, Chan and Mike, Chance, Claudia, Clea, James, Jacob, Mark Hoyk, everybody on there. My faction, and of course, Adam Collins. He's become pretty much like the yin to my yang. And I'm really excited that Deception's back in the tournament. So we're gonna make the most of that. I couldn't have done it without my faction. They're the greatest. They're my family. They're the greatest greatest bastard you could ever hope for. Them and all the, like I said before, all the amazing people that I've gotten to know, competitors and fans alike. I'm not the most outgoing or socially engaging. It is a process for me. Really engaging socially, but it's all the more enriching when I do. And there's some terrific people that I've met in this community, some amazing fans that I've gotten to meet in person and get to talk with online. There's so many special people out there, too many to count. But like I've said before, this is just the thing that just keeps me going and motivates me so much. Even if I haven't talked to people directly, I notice and I appreciate so much, and I hope to continue to get to keep meeting people and knowing people step by step. And it's so overwhelming, and I don't take it for granted. Just it really, really hit me like a train today, just seeing the support, and it made me emotional again. It's gonna make me emotional right now. It's really freaking special. And it's something I never thought I'd be a part of in my life, and the fans, the people who make this thing so special, is what it's all about. And I'm really grateful for that. So I wouldn't be here without these people, all of these people that I just named everybody.
Well, Marisol, hell of a match, amazing performance. You've been incredible all year since you stepped into the league, and you are the singles champion of the world. You joined the ranks of many legends. Congratulations. Appreciate you for taking the time here tonight, and good luck with the rest of the season. But I think you don't need that much luck because you're quite skilled. So have fun out there, and maybe you have another belt by the end of the year. Who knows? But once again, thanks a lot for stopping by, and just have a good one. Have a good one.
Thanks, Frank.
All right. That was Marisol McKee. Just an incredible story for Marisol. You know, the digital age has provided a lot of great stories, and hers is certainly one of them. And right now it's at the top of the mind right now. And she played a huge juggernaut in Ethan Irwin, and just an incredible match. One of the most entertaining singles title matches we've had in quite some time. Also one of the, usually Dan Merle's involved in these matches, and I suspect he will be again shortly if he has anything to say about it. But there was something refreshing to see two newish players playing for the singles belt, and boy, did they deliver, especially in the Cantina in a live event. Like I said, I wasn't able to be there. I'm going to forever hate that I wasn't, but hopefully, I'll get to see other stuff some other time. And hopefully, if you weren't able to make it out to Cantina and you've been thinking about trying to do it, if this doesn't sell you, I really don't know what to tell you people anymore. If you can do it, I understand some people can't. I understand some people who can't and that want to but just can't. I feel for you. Trust me. But man, Marisol is talking about the community, and it's not possible without all of us coming together and supporting one another. And if you've never been to a live event, they're spectacular. December 4th, you can get your tickets for that. October 9th. In Brooklyn, New York, get your tickets for that. Go experience that, because if you've never been to a live event setting for a Schmodown in years past, this will certainly, I think, a live event will completely change the way you look and appreciate the Schmodown. I know it did for me the moment we started doing these live shows. I was like, the live events, I knew that was the future of the league, and I know that players like Marisol McKee, Adam Collins, Paul Oyama, Chance Ellison, Ethan Irwin, they're futures. They're the future of the league as well. And you're going to want to be there live in person to witness it all happen. And you can do it October 9th, not that far away. Josh Horowitz, Griffey Nooms, that's a round two singles tournament match. And then obviously you're going to see Marisol McKee take on Chance Ellison. For the singles belt, it's a whole corruption affair once again. And, whoever comes out with that one, that's going to be a crazy match. But I want to get to, I think, I don't see any more super chats in here. If I've missed one, I apologize. Let me know in the chat. I think I did a pretty good job on my own here, looking at some of these super chats. I think I got to all of them. Let me see if I missed anything. I don't know that I did. I do want to briefly touch on the Brendan Meyer Jacoby Bancroft match, because that happened earlier in the day. So let's go ahead and jump into this one. This is how it ended earlier today.
Kenneth Johnson directed which DC Comics film? 5, 4, 3. The losers.
And your winner, advancing to the next round, Brendan!
Yeah, talking about the future of the league, Brendan Meyer, certainly one of those players, future of the league, and add Jacoby Bancroft to that list. I know he lost here, great match, and he lost today, but he played a great match, but definitely add him to one of those players to look for that's going to be the future of this league. Tim Sim here says, last thing I'll say before I go, she is now part of the club of 11 elite competitors, a club that is exceptionally difficult to enter. And then Jill comes in here with $5. Brandon who? I said, did I not say Brendan Meyer? Did I say Brandon Meyer? It's Brendan. I think that's. Thanks, Jill. Thanks a lot. Great match. This was a matchup that when the brackets came out, or we knew when the matchup was, that Brendan Meyer and Jacoby Bancroft were going to be in a first round tournament match. I did not feel great about either players, depending on how you were rooting for this match. I don't think you felt great about their prospects of coming out ahead, because both of these players are so good. Even though Jacoby is a rookie to the movie trivia showdown, he's not a rookie to movie trivia, obviously coming from the fan leagues. Look, this was, I don't know, maybe Brendan got a little lucky here, I think. And that's not to downplay what he did in this match, because he played great. That first round, they both had 7 points. Jacoby really got the better of Brendan there in the second round. I mean, he blows through Robert Rodriguez, that is Jacoby, the 8 points, and he gets a 2-point steal off of Brendan Meyer. And Brendan Meyer goes 2, 3, and 5, hits those 10 points, but Jacoby, misses his 3 and his 5. And I think he's certainly a better player than oh, so you know what? I'm looking at the chat. I see what, Okay. All right. You know what? I did. Yeah. Yep. Yep. I gotcha. Okay. You know what? Okay. Okay. Jill. All right. All right, Jill. Okay. Thank you. Yeah, Brandon. Yeah, because that's not where my mind was at. That's not where my mind was at, because I'm worried about these two players here, Jill. I mean, ah, boy. All right. And it's been a long night. It's been a long night. Yeah. So, Brendan Meyer, I think, gets pretty lucky here over Jacoby Bancroft, but it does not get any easier. He's going to be facing Adam Collins in round two, and Adam Collins looks scary good. It looks like he's back to his old ways. These 3-round matches can really be a sprint, and Adam Collins can get off to a start like no other that we've seen in quite some time. But Brendan Meyer's no slouch either. Remember, I mean, they had a this is gonna be a great rematch of between these two players, and since they've met, they've built up more of a pedigree of themselves individually, and now they're coming into this with more history under their own individual belts, no pun intended, and it's going to be quite a match to see. Brendan Meyer, 87% accuracy here. Jacoby, 81% accuracy rate. 23 to 19 was the final. Great match. Great Cantina energy. Always fun to watch those matches, and I cannot wait till we're back in studio. Cantina's great, but also when we get other studio matches, which I think should happen next year, that's gonna be a lot of fun. All right. I think that's gonna do it here for moi. And it was a great show talking to Marisol for the amount of time that we did. And very excited, very happy for Marisol. And I cannot wait to see what she does in Brooklyn against Chance. It's going to be a hell of an event. I am going to try and make it out there, Haskell. I really am. I don't know if it's going to happen. I'm trying. There's some work stuff that I'm trying to work out. But like I said, maybe I'll just quit. I don't know. I probably won't, but God, I'd love to. I mean, sort of. Anyways, that's a whole other thing. Anyways, this has been the Schmodown Rundown post show for Battlefield. Marisol McKee is your new singles champion. Get used to it. Corruption's coming. They're climbing on the ranks. They're climbing the standings. Are they going to do it again? I think they might. I think they might. And that's crazy. That's crazy. Because once again, they started slow, and now they're finishing, you know, full steam ahead. All right. I'll see you guys next week. Great matches next week. It's going to be crazy. This tournament season is bonkers. All right. Get to Brooklyn. Get to Spectacular in December here in L.A. And until next week, I am Frank Janish. This has been the Schmodown Rundown, and we'll see you next time.